Good evening, right, gentlemen. Nicholas is quickly showing us ilkley beer tops and things. I'm full of cold, so I'm on tea and a drop of Jameson's to try and loosen my throat up a bit. Bruce is halfway through his induction on his new role. All I say is choo choo. So he's yeah, he can't drink. So it's all Nicholas on the ale tonight. So it's yet another
It's
slightly
normal.
grey and yeah, slightly grey and damp April evening. It was quite nice. It was quite warm actually early on, but it's. It's gone back to norm tonight. So, welcome to episode 56 of the Malt Travel podcast. And again, 56. So we're ticking them off. We spent the last edition talking about those podcasts, which unfortunately are falling by the way. And this evening, what we're going to do is we've all recently, individually, I've got to say, been off around our home nations. So Bruce has had a trip to the Emerald Isle. Nick
Excuse
was
me.
recently in Scotland. We were stretching that a little bit, aren't we? And
Hey,
I was in
before
Wales.
Christmas,
For,
long
yeah,
time before Christmas.
I was in Wales over Easter. I have to say on the X lead that we're going to count Whitby as another one of our four nations. So Nick can tell us about Whitby because he had a little tour around Whitby as well. So that's the plan, really. A little bit of a catch up about where we've been, and then I don't know. I was just wondering whether there's any difference between Welsh, Irish, and Scottish pubs. So that's the plan tonight. So it's probably going to be a fairly short one. So are we all right, gentlemen?
Yes, I've
Aye.
got it all for you. But big week beer news. Looks like Stonegate Group's in serious trouble, doesn't it? £2 billion of debt they're carrying out there. I'm Really,
sorry
Bruce,
if
because
you.
I've got a tale to tell about them in Whitby. So
Yeah, I
that's
was
a
surprised
surprise.
about
York,
that.
it won't be good from what I can gather. I know. What a shame. What a shame. Yes.
Okay, anyway, let's
Iconic.
kick off then. So a little bit of beer news, as we've said. And again, the other bad beer news, it's been a bit decrepit, is as we've discussed previously, it now kind of everybody knows is that Jennings Brewery up in Cockermouth, which we talked about. I think we were on a podcast when it was first announced that they were closing it. Carlsberg, Marston's, whatever they call these, CBM, and now, as predicted, they're now actually auctioning the whole brewery, and you can't see another brewery taking it on, can you? So it's just going to get knocked down probably, and the Tesco's or a Lidl or something built on it. And so, as we said, I did notice quite a lot of Twitter feed this week. So they're still saying, what is it, the authentic Lakeland beer, even though it's produced in Wolverhampton, which again. And then the other one linked to that is this idea again, and I think they're doing this already, in that they kind of announced that they're going to start moving a lot of their cask beer and hand pump beer onto what they're calling fresh ale. So basically, they're basically produce they've managed to, or they have the ability to produce cask beer now in a keg, basically, and it will just be dispensed through a hand pump. So you probably won't know. I think they're already doing this, which is a little bit like the Marston's Pedigree came out, wasn't it? That they weren't using those the union system. They were blending it. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. There's been quite a lot of backlash actually, and I don't know whether that will go. And I think there was another brewery that they were closing as well, wasn't there, down south? I know Ringwood, they've took it over. So it'll be interesting to see what comes of that one.
Well, in terms of the dispensing, I think Cameron are going to take them to task in terms of false promotion and false advertising, aren't they? I think Cameron are aiming at taking them legally, basically saying you're making out you're providing a similar product that in fact you're not doing. But yeah, see what comes of it.
Anyway, I don't want to steal Bruce's thunder, but again, it was quite a lot. Actually, as Bruce was going over to Ireland, there was a lot of stuff in the various press about the cost of drinks now in Ireland, and particularly this headline where four people had been to the Temple Bar pub in Dublin and had ordered four drinks and got charged roughly 50 quid for it, being charged, I think it was £9.95 a pint of Guinness, over in Ireland, which again was a bit extortionate. And even I think a pint of Kilkenny was something like £8.50. One or two people came back. There's this landlord who runs the Downies Bar, which is in Dublin, slightly out of the city centre, but it's called Cabra. They're still trying to sell theirs at €5 a pint, although he was saying it's Diageo were putting the pressure on them. Diageo were pushing the price up. The price of sale, and they are suggested as a minimum. So I don't know what was the average price. It's hard to say. I think, as always, in all big cities, depends where you go, doesn't it? In
Yes, I
London, you
mean,
could pay £10 for a pint, easy.
Well, we'd never, I'd never actually been to Temple Bar pub. So this time we did go in, and I'd say it was just under €20 for 2 pints of Guinness, which
Yeah.
was insane. Having said that, I think the way to think about it is the place itself is vast. They have live music and all the time. It is a tourist attraction. You could spend an hour and a half. And obviously, I mean, the following morning, we paid €26 to go around Jameson's Whiskey Corner there, the tour. You got a big, large Jameson rate in and three samples. So I suppose, I mean, I'd say it was a great atmosphere at
Yeah.
Temple Bar.
Yeah.
And if you're going to get a pint, spin it out. But yeah, it is madness. I mean,
Yeah.
we went to Oliver John Groggy as well, which was similar. I think the Temple Bar, it was just under about €7.80 a pint. In Fleet Street, rather,
Yeah,
Palace Bar in Fleet
Palace Bar,
Street.
yeah. And
But
that's it, Bruce. People pay it, won't
they
they?
will pay it, and I'll tell you, they all have live music on. And I think the thing is, they're not just pubs, they're what people around the world go for. I mean, you wouldn't sit there
So
all
they can
night,
get in
drink.
with it. But
You'd go in for one and move on, and to be fair, you could spend as long
yeah.
as you want, once you paid it. But great atmosphere, Temple Bar. I've never really done something about that before, but it was a Sunday tea time. Although the one thing was a distinct lack of, really, was Irish people drinking in all these places in centre. Plum to win the Palace Bar. They have they stay the end of O'Connell Street, where things are significantly cheaper. So yeah, I mean, it was fun, but we'll touch on it again later. Yes,
And then again, just linked to that again, there was again this just came up. There's a guy we've talked about kind of ticking off Wetherspoons and pubs. There's a guy who's trying to find the best Irish pubs in the world. He currently has ticked off 472. Again, he's
wow.
got a blog site called The Public Anemone. Basically, goes to he's a guy from Kerry. He's trying to go to every Irish
Well,
pub on it
I would
on the
say
earth. So,
he's got a lot more to go at, because I think
absolutely.
every capital city or big town in the world has got an Irish bar, haven't they?
So
And this is why Guinness is so successful. And it's like you say as well about the price of Guinness. You know, it's not cheap to buy, and yet why should it be any more expensive produced than a normal pint of beer? It isn't. It's just Diageo have obviously realised that, you know, nationwide, that's the drink that people go for. Therefore, they charge top dollar for it. But it's a bit like Tim Taylor's, isn't it? You know, the Tim Taylor's know that they can charge what they want for the beer. And when I speak to landlords around here, they said very rarely we will get it in, because it's £20 a barrel dearer than any other beer. Beers from all around the UK, compared to a beer come from Keighley, 50 mile away. How can they justify charging actually £20 for it? Because there will be people to pay for it. So,
brand, isn't it? I mean, but loads of young people are turning to Guinness, apparently, aren't they? I mean, we know it's loads of young lasses in
yeah, and
Temple
I
Bar
didn't
drinking.
notice how they're really pushing like Nigeria.
Instagram it, don't they? They've gone to
Yeah.
Ireland, so
Yeah.
we're buying parts of Guinness. Power of
They're
social media
plus
also with it, I think.
it's easy to drink though, Guinness, isn't it? It's not got you wouldn't say it's got a strong flavour to it. You know, it's a bit like young people
No.
starting on cider because cider's sweet. But Guinness compared to a pint of beer, Guinness doesn't actually taste too much, to be honest with you. And especially now when they're pumping out colder and colder. I think last time my old man had a Guinness, we're in Wetherspoons, and he said, "Oh, it was St. Patrick's night, and oh yeah, I better have a Guinness." Well, we might not be, we might be in another pub. So he had a pint of Guinness, and he says, "I can't even taste it. It's that so cold now, you know, because they're chilling it right down." And even that's fake. I remember when they first brought that extra cold Guinness out. Basically, it was coming out the same barrel, and they were just putting it through another cooler cycle, even though they were charging more for it. So it was the same Guinness out the same barrel, just going through a different pump. And as I say, it was going through an extra cooler, and that's what made it colder. So as I say, I think young people turn to it because it's easy to drink. There's not much flavour to it, to
Although
be honest with
I
you.
do think when you look, I think they chuck a lot away of it as well. I think people buy a pint and then chuck half it away. Again,
Yeah, I think you're right. It's
I
not
saw
like
some
in Ireland.
I saw a clip of the Guinness, the what's it, you know, what they call it these days, the fact the brewery tour were there and you get a
Oh,
pint of
the
Guinness
tap at the
there,
top of there. Yeah,
and I
yeah,
mean they were half
yeah.
of them
Yeah,
chucking it away,
yeah.
and I
Yeah.
do notice it now at supermarkets around here they're pushing Nigerian Guinness. They're pushing the Belgium Guinness. They're really, I mean, stout on the and of course I think we mentioned last time, why where a stout is having a bit of a refurb, actually some of the other stouts which are taking some of the kind of headlines and not so much Guinness. And just actually a couple of new things for me that I've learnt this last week or so over Easter, doing a little bit of kind of reading and research. I wasn't aware that if again back to our hometown of Malton. Taylor and Brown's, which is on the County Bridge, which it's been empty for a long time, is a steel fabrication company. I know, Nick, you've mentioned that you've seen a few Brass Castle kegs and whatnot down there, and I think they're using storage. And I found out this week, actually, there used to be a brewery actually built on there back in 1830, the Albion Brewery. And in fact, when that shut in the mid-1800s, actually, that became the fire station. So Moulton First Fire Station, which isn't far away, actually, it's just around the corner on Sheepfoot Hill. Actually, the first fire station was there as well. So that was something new to me. I knew, well, we've talked about the other
ideal location for brewery.
Yeah.
Because you're on the river, and that's how they were transporting the beer. And also the fact that that's where all the springs are. That's where you walk.
Yeah, that's what he said. Which is why all the breweries were on Castlegate, while Russell's Wrangham's and Roses were on Castlegate. And the other one which completely floored me, I don't know why we hadn't come across this, but do you know that when Moulton Brewery Company, for the old Sotheby's Double Chance, when they kind of sold up in whatever it was, 2004, I think it was, guess who the kit went to? The kit went to Thornbridge Hall and became the first proper professional brew kit that Thornbridge actually bought. So there's a nice link. We've talked about Thornbridge quite a lot, and I've checked it out in two different kind of, if you like, whatever, written records. Yeah, when Sotheby's sold up, when he sold all the brewery, and he went, well, he created Sotheby's Brewing Company, but that was a cuckoo brewery that was being done all over, wasn't it? I think they were doing it, Brown Cow were brewing it for him.
He sold the brew Leeds kit, Brewery.
And the brew kit went to Thornbridge Hall Brewery, which of course then became Thornbridge Brewery. So again, nice little link there to one of our kind of, you know, brews we talk quite a lot, really. So
talking about beer in reading, I picked this little pamphlet up the other day, and it's The Inns and Ale Houses of York by Alan Johnson. Now, it's second hand, and in fact, somebody's been making notes within it. I'll just give you quick examples. Obviously, this is a member of Camera, because what does he put here? He's put the corner pin is a bit chavvy. He's put the cross keys is unremarkable. He's put the Falcon is now a disco bar, vile. What else has he put? He's put, Five Lions is chavvy with rooms. And then there's another cracking one somewhere. Just one second, where can I find it? The Handsome Cab, renovated, but a drunk's pub, which I suppose is pretty much like it is now. And the Little John, okay, a little chavvy. So, here we are. Nag's Head is now rumours bloody horrible. But it actually gives the old breweries that actually owned all these pubs before, you know, they were all taken over with the monopolies and mergers. And some of them have got the change of names as well. But yeah, his comments are probably as interesting or amusing as the actual little write-ups about the places, because it was, I think it was published in 1989. So a little, the Inns and Hill Houses of York.
There you go. Yeah, well, one man's version of it, by the sounds of it. I still think the Paul Crystal book is probably the best one. Pubs Around York, which is a very, very good little book guide for those doing York. I did notice actually the guy within the walls, he's changing as well. He's kind of, he does quite a regular update. I think he's just going to web-based going forward. So, Bruce, you went across to Ireland as part of your kind of finishing the last job and going out with a bit of a bang. So you had, I think, did you have, what, 48 hours or so in Dublin?
Yeah, sure. We had a mega cheap flight. Went up with Ryanair from Leeds and came up with Aer Lingus because we got two really, really cheap two really, really cheap fares. I have to say, the new terminal at Dublin Airport is a very, very impressive. How on earth could you think you were in a vast megalopolis city? Careful of the word. Yeah, quite incredible. So, yeah, we were primarily to visit the gravediggers. I've been wanting to go to the gravediggers, John Cavanagh's, for years and years and years. That's finally got around. So when we got there, we stayed at the Gresham on O'Connell Street. Again, an iconic Dublin hotel. I stayed there when I was a child many years ago. Of course, I'd forgotten just how vast it is. It's got 600 rooms in the Gresham. It is colossal. But sadly, because it was a Gresham, they have their own chain. They've been taken over by Rue Plaza Hotels. That was a bit of a shame. You could kind of see how some of the houses had been knocked out with a bit of a corporate feel. That was really, really quite depressing. But on the plus side, the little pub next to it, Madigan's on O'Connell Street. I've never been to that one before. It was a great little place, a great mix of tourists and locals. It was almost the most Irish people in. Again, splendid Guinness, straight off the Airbus from the airport, bobbed in there for, and that was fantastic Guinness. We got there on the Sunday, and that night we potted across to Temple Bar. So I thought, well, it's going to be too bad being a Sunday tea time. Sunday, like the man Friday, Saturday night. It could have been more wrong. It was absolutely insane. But having said that, it was quite a lovely, lovely atmosphere. People there from all over the world, you know, Americans, Canadians, Australians, New Zealanders. I suppose for them to be in Temple Bar, the heart of Dublin, they were ticking that off the bucket list. It's something everyone dreams
of. Claiming to be of Irish ancestry, I bet, Bruce.
Yeah, so a bit of that going on.
And actually, I think the actual rise in the cost of pints has probably slightly calmed things down. Because I think 10, 15 years ago, it would have been a bloody bloodbath on a Sunday night, wouldn't it?
I think
the cost of it means that people are not necessarily going out to get legless, are they? Because you can't afford it. They're going out to visit Dublin pubs, aren't they? So that might have been a plus there.
I don't think it's the stag and hen capital anymore, is it?
No.
York's probably taken it over.
Yeah, I think Mike makes a good point, really. So it was actually really quite a lovely atmosphere. Yeah, it was expensive. But again, there was Temple Bar, constant music on. I mean, there's God knows how many bars in the Temple Bar itself. Must have been, God, I don't know, 400 or 500 people in that pub. But it was a great atmosphere. Those bartenders were really extremely good Guinness in there as well, I have to say. Yeah. I think, and again, the Palace Bar, we remember all those years ago, that hasn't changed. It seems to be a little bit good. I went there twice, actually, Monday. Was a shade quiet there, lacks on the atmosphere when you've been down Temple Bar.
People often miss Palace, don't they? Because it's not quite in Temple Bar. It's just kind of over the bridge, isn't it? O'Connell Bridge. And it's just off the side there. And you could walk past it, couldn't you? I mean, again, I must admit, when I'd forgotten how small, actually, because it's quite a big place inside and the back bar's massive, isn't it? I forgot how small it is, actually. You could walk past it and not even realise it's there, to be honest.
That's right.
They don't have bouncing on the door, most certainly when you were there, whatever time that was. So,
respite going in there. And then on Monday, we went to a bucket list. So we did go to James Whiskey Corner first. And then now I know I'm going, you could get the bus out. You can get the bus out to the Gravediggers. They've got a little street. This is, of course, the infamous John Kavanagh's Gravediggers pub. Widely recognised as the finest pint of Guinness in the world by everybody. And when you go inside, it's pretty astonishing. The 8th generation of the Kavanagh family running it now. Monday lunchtime was very, very quiet in there. Bit of a rainy day. I think most of the tourists had done it. But you see, there's iconic sort of Guinness pumps that Mike's got a picture of. They're going there. And actually, there was another table. What was astonishing, I mean, this place is totally, totally untouched. And they have a table, which you should have taken a picture of. And I think I'm a bit all surprised if it's the bench table there from the 1830s when it opened. The floorboards have got you know, the stuff from people's shoes over the years. It's like they've never been cleaned at all. It is absolutely insane. If anything, it was too quiet, really, being the daytime. Although, this is widely reputed the best pint Guinness in the world. And I think I have a bad luck with this because we went to Mulligan's in Manchester. Many people was the best pint Guinness in England. And it was a very hot day, to be fair. We were disappointed. Yeah. And I have to say, on that, I couldn't really say the Guinness in the Gravediggers was any better than we'd had the day before. But it was so quiet in there. So that was a bit of a disappointment. I think it's selling such folklore, such steam. I think people dare say anything else. These bloggers go, they feel. Having said that,
How can a pint of Guinness be very much different to another pint of Guinness anywhere, bros? It's all made in vast tanks and all shipped over, or in the term of, Guinness in Ireland hasn't got a far travel, but
it does change dramatically, doesn't it? And I have to say, the Guinness in Madigan's and those first, everywhere in Temple Bar, the Palace Bar, it was absolutely delicious, as it was here, but did it get that moment where it was like, oh my God, this is amazing, I need to drink three more. And it was, all the Guinness, I have to say, was fantastic. But this place is absolutely insane inside. I mean, you know, it's totally, totally untouched. Staff are friendly. And then to the left-hand side there, you've got the cemetery, which, of course, famously is the first cemetery where Catholic have been turned together. And the size of the gravestones is enormous. And even in death, obviously, there was this social standard. They had the biggest gravestones, bloody life. So yes, well worth a trip to see. And I've said, I think the Guinness was, I think it was €5.40
right,
a pint,
not too
which
bad.
is
Yeah. I think
probably less than we're paying here.
This video will play, I think. Did notice that in all these pubs they're still using the old Guinness pubs, aren't they? They've got none of the fancy fandangle ones we have in pubs over here now. They're all like
yeah,
the old
yeah.
traditional little square light box pubs. That was interesting.
That video was John Groggett is in Temple Bar.
Oh, John
Groggett,
right. I thought I was throw you back in Temple Bar. Okay, well,
yeah,
pause that for
Grave
now.
Digger's famous has no music allowed, and when Ronnie Byrne from the Dubliners, Ronnie Moore from the Dubliners died, he got interned in that cemetery, and sort of Bono and Christy Moore and all these people and turned up for his funeral. They decided to start jamming the blocks. What are you doing? He goes, oh, what am I going to be the jam for Ronnie? So there's been no music since 1837. We aren't starting now, you know. Put them down or piss off, you know.
They all went outside, didn't they? All sang out. There's a video of it somewhere. They all went outside, sang yeah. outside.
Absolutely. Okay. Quite an astonishing little place here.
So pause that for now then. So that was in Ireland. So I spent the Easter weekend down in Tenby. So, and I mentioned Tenby before. It's a great place for a little, if you want a weekend away. It's got, it's a very compact town. It's got a bit of everything. It's a bit like York. It's got its walls, a bit like Whitby. It's got a harbour. It's got, and plenty of pubs and two breweries. We did eventually a bit further out, actually. And this is probably my first outdoor pint of the year so far. And this is the Chemist in Saundersfoot. Which has got a very from the front it looks very interesting. From the back it doesn't look as quite as nice because it's got holiday flats above it. But the beer garden is literally on the beach, so as you can see there, it was on YouTube. So we were sat right there. It was just about warm enough to sit outside. It's a bit of a real ale pub, although they were doing mainly Tenby Harbour beers in there, which is great. Although we did probably get a little bit sick of them, to be honest. And there wasn't a great deal. That's what time of year, really. And Tenby brewery beers are fine. Tenby Harbour is the kind of in the middle of town. And this is a fantastic pub. This is their tap and kitchen. This is a huge place. Since the last time I've been there, they've extended it even more. There's that many bars. There's a traditional front kind of pub bar. You then go out around the back where there's like a mezzanine lounge. There's then a huge outdoor seating area with little chalets with heaters in them. There's then a little tap room above the brewery. There's then, for those on YouTube, there's then this bit down the side, which is a lane that goes up Sardage Lane, and they've just taken over the whole of the lane. And they've also, all the old buildings on the left-hand side of the picture there, they've gone into all of those now. They're a bit kind of farmyard-like, to be honest, but they put tables and chairs in all of those as well. They've got like things like old record players with records, so you can put your own tunes on in those different like outdoor spaces. So unbelievable space. Big bar upstairs. There's a little bar as you're looking there. Again, if you're looking at the one that's in the street, there's a little bar in the street as well. It doesn't serve as many beers, this place is rammed every hour of the day. This place is rammed. So really good place. Nice to have your beers. And they do quite a lot of kind of Welsh-inspired beers. They do a lot of Six Nations beers. So there was a different Welsh players, and they also have a Sebastian. Sebastian, who played for France. So really, really interesting place. The other brewery is the Tenby Brewery. So there's two breweries. They're more kind of keg orientated. The great thing about Tenby and probably Wales in general, bang in the middle of town is a rugby club, so there isn't actually a post or anything there. They play on a pitch slightly out of the town, but the actual rugby club itself is bang in the middle of Tenby and is open breakfast all the way through to late nights, it's always full. It's probably the biggest place in Tenby, so you can pretty much guarantee if it rains you'll get a seat in there. They did have a couple of beers on. I think they had a Brains on and a Flennenfell beer on. And the rumour in there has got big screens all around it, racing on one end, the football, the rugby on the other. So just a great place, really. And very friendly. Yeah, anybody's welcome in there.
Brains.
Yeah, yeah. So it was Yeah, it was very nice. It was great. And then the other brewery is Tenby. They have a brewery on the edge of the town. Actually, the brewery's only open Fridays and Saturdays, so we didn't quite manage to get in there. We had a quick look down at it on our last day, but it only opens Friday, Saturdays. And is very much geared towards kind of very much like a typical tap, couple of big tent things outside. But they've got a couple of food halls. So there's food hall in Tenby that we went to a couple of times. And this is in Narberth, which is a little market town just inland. And this is kind of the old, probably the old school. And they turned that into one of these kind of food bars. So there's four street food guys that are in there, the bar at the far end. And again, this place is absolutely rammed. We got the last table when we got there as well. So, again, really, really good crack, really. Lots of different beers on. So a couple of cask beers, but mainly keg. So, again, just a really interesting place, really. We actually stayed at a little place called Pennelly, which is just outside of Tenby, on the kind of big long beach. It's kind of where there was a rifle range there, Nick. A lot of the it was a place for did a lot of D-Day landing practice in the war, and the rifle, the picture there that you're looking at to see the rifle range is just around there. I don't think they use it anymore, but the pub that went into the Cross Keys has got all the regiments behind the bar. And the Cross Keys is a fantastic little pub. Again, pub with a view. That's the view there, looking over to Caldy Island. Interestingly, they had Sharp Solar Wave, Bluestone, which is a Bread of Heaven beer, which is a Welsh brewery, and Gower Gold, which are the ones. The pub nearest to us, the Paddock, looks really interesting. Unfortunately, it had no cask beer on whatsoever. And again, it was full of people drinking Madry, so we kind of, I think we had ended up having a half in there. But
yeah, Madry's Tenby, even made it to Ireland, unfortunately.
Yeah. But Tenby, a great place. As I said, we've done, I think I've covered it in a previous podcast. So Welsh beers will come back to in a minute. And then, Nicholas, you had a little trip this week out to Whitby. So come on, give us an update on Whitby. You just about got the weather, I think.
Jumped on the bus. It's still being advertised as the best bus trip in the country. Still a £2 bus ride. Takes an hour and 28 minutes, but I got at Russop and walked along the river. Walked right up the way to the Abbey there. It's still half term. It's holidays for some areas. The Abbey was ticking over. The weather was good on Monday as well. So I had a pint in there. Talking about dispensing. Noticed it before in there, Mike. I think when we've been in there, whilst they've got hand pumps on, they aren't physically pulling the hand pumps. The hand pump is like, it's just like a tap to open and close.
Yeah.
And I remember I mentioned this to the girl the last time, and she said, oh, it's some sort of dispense system.
Yeah.
But I think it's a pressurized dispense system.
Yeah. I don't like
that. And it makes you think, well, hang on.
Yeah.
No, so it's not proper hand pull beer, is it, really? And it was, what, £4.50 a pint, which is my argument again. How come beer is so expensive in your own tap? You know, you can justify travelling costs and all that sort of stuff, but that was the norm. So it was £4.50 in the Abbey. Walked back down the hill and went to the Duke of York. Haven't been in there for a long time. Knew it had the refurbishment. Sadly, it has lost all its old little, you know, fisherman's character. They've taken the little narrow pew benches out, and the big. I mean, they had a pint. They had a white rat on. Can't remember what they had. And what's in it? It's £4.50. The saddest thing was the food. I mean, we always do love the food in there, and now it's just a corporate menu. You know, it's got no relationship to do with Whitby or anything, whereas in there, you could go in there, you could get your fish and chips. They often have lobsters on, which obviously we're getting from the local lads when they're in season. You could have a fantastic crab salad, and it was all home-cooked food. And I mean, the kitchen is and has always been tiny in there, but I'm afraid it's corporate now.
Stonegate, a £2 billion in debt. So why are they still buying up pubs when they're carrying £2 billion worth of debt? It's unbelievable.
The Cambros, because a little bit of profit they do make, that goes to the shareholders and the directors, doesn't it? Doesn't matter that they're running up, like you say, billions of pounds of the debt. This is how most big companies operate nowadays. The day's gone when, you know, you have to have cash in the bank. And this is what most of the pub calls are doing. Most of the pub calls are in debt. But like you say, they keep opening pubs up. They're never going to make any money, or the little bit of money that they are making, it never goes back to paying off the debt. It just goes to the directors and the board and the shareholders.
But it's insane that they buy these places and they're successful because the people went for the food and the local. And they must know that when they buy them and turn them corporate, people are going to. Because apparently the pub next door to it now, apparently can't move in there because they're doing all the home cooked food now, aren't they?
Right. Yeah. Probably. Yeah.
The boarding next door.
Walked back down the hill. Had to go in the Black Horse. that is, once again, if you want to see a traditional pub, that's the one that you've got to go into. They had a good range of beers. I just missed out. I saw they were advertising Oakham's Inferno on the blackboard outside. Walked in, looked at the hand pumps, couldn't see it anywhere. Says the last behind the bar, "Oh, I mean, you got the beers that you're advertising outside." She says, "Oh, I've just changed it," she said. I said, "All right, sorry." I said, "I walked past, saw it, being up to the Abbey. I should have come in here first." So I ended up with a pint of the Adams, seeing that I was by the seaside.
But again, they had
an interesting JW Lees on, Founders.
But again, you're in a Yorkshire pub, and Whitby is probably the most isolated bit of the Yorkshire coast. It's the end of the line, and you've got a Southwold beer, you've got a Manchester beer, you've got a Shrewsbury beer, and then you've got one local beer, Black Dog Ratus. Again, so yeah, I get what you say about the good beer range, but it's a bit godly when there's, you know, again, you're going to Whitby, you want to sample some Yorkshire beers, and there's not much local on there, is there? You thought a Brass Castle or Hamilton,
plenty of local beers in, end up in the waiting room, which Michael knows well, and that was ticking over really nicely, full of all retired people either waiting for the bus back or waiting for the train. And that was really ticking over. People sharing tables, having a good chat on. They've got a real strict policy now on their toilets because obviously a lot of people get off the train and go ahead to the station because they're going to find a toilet. They get so many people going in there abusing it. If you go on TripAdvisor, you know, people put nasty comments, one-star reviews because how abusive the staff were. But you can understand if people are constantly tripping in, want to use your toilet. So they actually have a key. And literally, because they were all older retired people in there who often need to go for a pee very often, literally, there was a constant stream of people just walking backwards to the bar, backwards and forwards, getting the key, going to the toilet, and the key back in. Somebody else would go at the key. And I said, really, time of day like this, you could leave it open. Because I happened to be sat next to the toilet door. I said, I could become the bloody key holder here, like, because it was just a constant stream of people coming backwards and forwards. But no, it was well worth doing. As I say, I know folks will travel from Leeds to Whitby. It takes about 3 hours. So especially if you do like a beer and you do need a pee. But I was fortunate I got lift back, which doesn't take 1.5 hours to get back to Malton. So, long time since I've had a little wander around Whitby. Obviously, plenty of other pubs to go to in Whitby. So next time I venture through there, I'll be able to pick another 3 or 4 different ones.
Very good. Very good.
Yes. So 3 minutes training.
Yes. So we've covered kind of our tour around. So I think we're going to, as Bruce has got to make sure he comes off early today because it's his good lady's birthday. It was yesterday, wasn't it, Christine's birthday, but celebrating today. We'll do a part two of this where we'll just get into that little bit more about those Celtic pubs and our thoughts about the difference between Welsh, Irish and Scottish pubs compared to our English ones. So I think we've given that a fairly good go in terms of what we've been looking at. I think that's what we're moving on to it. My next lot there. So we'll do that. So that's around about where we've been, and we've kind of set the scene a little bit. The other one I also want to set up, and this will be it'll be episode 38 now, 57. Sorry, 30. I don't know where that came from. Is we are going to bite the bullet, and we are going to have a Wetherspoons debate in a couple of weeks' time, and I'm going to propose that Bruce is going to tell us why he doesn't particularly like Wetherspoons, although he has been warming to it, hasn't he, recently, Nick? And we've got to say. And Nick obviously is an advocate, and I'll sit on the fence.
Still think Bruce has probably been to more Wetherspoons than me and you put together, Michael. He hates them, and the food's crap.
I think we're ticking them off. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, well, I'll wait for next time. I knew this was coming up, so I went to Harrogate last Thursday to Spoons for this, and I'll explain more next time now.
Well, I think as you point out, Bruce, interestingly, there's been quite a lot of actually press recently, and quite balanced, actually, talking about the pros and cons balanced. Of them. I'm talking about, you know, the model and in some ways, I guess breaking down some of the myths, I think, of our friend and the way that he does business. And a lot of it is for the good. Yes, it has an impact on local pubs, and it looks like they're going through an interesting phase now. I know one of our local ones has been refurbing it. And I know we've got some that are closing, but they're still buying new places as well, aren't they? Just put that big investment into London, haven't they, in the station there. Big investment.
Oh, yeah. Well, they've confirmed they're opening one, is it? Wetherby or Borough Bridge, Bruce?
Oh, Wetherby. They bought it, pulled out, but going back in, although, to be fair, the building's empty. Why not? Yeah.
Very good. So
that one anyway.
We will reconvene in about a week or so's time, and we'll do part two of this one. So I think I've got a fairly blank weekend. I'm going to get rid of this cold for a start, so I don't know what I'm doing yet this weekend. You guys got any plans?
We are going away for an expert on Saturday. We've not decided yet because both kids are away. So we're going to go away somewhere, probably, depending on the weather, Dales or Coast for a night this Saturday somewhere. But I don't know where, so I'll let you know next time round.
Very good.
You're working Saturday night, so I won't be on Saturday night. Yeah.
I'll see what we're doing.
Yeah.
Okie dokie, Jets. Thanks very much. We'll play the funky music and we'll see you all, hopefully, in a couple of weeks' time.
Yep.
Bye.